I have Al Ringer on the phone with me. Al is a Pine Creek Farm farmer and wild rice producer, among other things. Actually, I believe he's also sitting out of a Lake Superior School District board meeting to be with us. Thank you so much, Al, for taking the time.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with talking a little bit about wild rice, since we haven't really talked about that yet this fall. You are a wild ricer. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about the history of how, when you started doing this and what it's like and what the season was like this year?
Well, it was kind of spotty this year. I've been doing it for probably, 15 years maybe. And it's typically something that happens in the fall. Typically, it's wild rice season typically starts around September 1st, give or take a week or so.
Yep.
Dependent. Wild rice grows on lakes and rivers that are fairly shallow, have kind of a mucky bottom, and have a slow-moving water going through them. So if they grow on lakes, they typically have an inlet and an outlet. And it's regulated by the state, so you need a license. You can get anywhere where you get a fishing or hunting license. The area around here is an 1854 treaty area, and so there's a website that the Native Americans, they monitor a lot of the wild rice lakes by either flying over or paddling in, and they put updates. And so a lot of times I'll go by that as far as, you know, how the lakes look, because some lakes might be good one year and not so good another year. And so I went up a couple times up to a lake up by Finland and ended up getting right around 140 pounds of green rice. And I sound like a lot, and it's a good amount, but once it's processed, you get less than half of that. I think we got about 48% of that this year. So we ended up with, I think, right around 68 pounds of wild rice that then I would split up with the people that I went with.
Yeah, well, that's still sounds like a lot of wonderful rice, and I know it's something you don't, it's not something you get quickly. I mean, you're pretty much paddling slowly around all day, knocking rice into the canoes, correct?
Correct, yeah. It's a two-person, although when we were out there one time this fall, there was one fellow alone in a canoe, and it's real hard to do because you try to move slowly while also using sticks to knock the rice into the canoe. So it's really, really difficult with one person, but it works well with two people. And so, yeah, you try to pick a nice day in early September, not windy, not rainy, and you just slowly move up and down the lake. The hours are 9 to 3 every day. So we're out there for 5 or 6 hours, and it's a good social activity, you know, chatting away and knocking the rice in the canoe, and then bag it up, bring it home, spread it out. And then, you know, we used to process it ourselves. We could never get it 100% clean, so we've taken it the last couple of times to a neighbor person who's processes it, and it's an involved process as far as parching it and then thrashing to get the hulls off and then winnowing to blow all the chaff off. So it's kind of a three-step process to get it from the green state into the finished stuff you would see in the store.
Yes, and I know we've talked on the radio before about the there's a new wild rice processing place in Finland, so anybody who really doesn't know anybody or know how to do it, you can now get your wild rice processed somewhere in Finland. So that's kind of a boon. Did you have a chance to talk to other wild ricers this fall and see if their experience has been similar to yours this year, kind of up and down, it sounds like?
The person that we brought the rice to said he had talked to other people, and we live in the Brimson area, so it wasn't very good at lakes around us. We have a few lakes, you know, fairly close to us, and it just, I think one of the lakes typically is good, but I think it was in early August, they got 4 inches of rain, and I think that really kind of ruined the wild rice crop at that lake, and it was a real localized rain. The lake isn't that far from our house, and we got an inch of rain, and they got 4 inches, and I know it. Wild rice doesn't like real wild fluctuations in water depth, and so that it just, a lot of lakes weren't good this year, but rice, I've heard, can sit in the bottom muck for years and years, and then all of a sudden decide it wants to germinate and grow. So even though it wasn't a good year at certain lakes, you know, that doesn't mean that next year won't be a good year.
Yeah, it's a delicate process. I mean, I think many people have learned that via the sulfate issue. It's just a very delicate balance that brings out the wild rice. And it's always a hot commodity around here to get the real thing, you know, the locally produced wild rice. Do you know of, I don't think you sell, maybe you do, but do you know where people could buy, you know, interested listeners can buy local wild rice?
You know, I guess I don't really. You know, we sell a little bit of it. You know, a lot of times we just give it away to friends and family for Christmas gifts. And so we, you know, don't really want to make a business of it. You know, there has been people in the past that have done it. But, you know, the hand-harvested and parched stuff, it's real different than the real black stuff you buy in the store. It cooks at about half the time. And so
yes,
we have to kind of tell people that you know, when they get rice from us, that's kind of light gray-colored. It just cooks a lot faster than the real dark black wild rice.
Yeah, I think I've read quite a bit about that black rice that comes from California and other places, and is very different than what we get locally. So there, yeah, like I said, there's always a hot market for the real thing. But anyway, so you're up in Brimson, and we had a dusting of wet snow this morning. What's the weather been like up there? You're usually colder than we are down by the lake.
Well, it was 29 this morning. We had an inch of snow that I measure. I read the weather for the National Weather Service, and so I put my little snowboard out to measure, get an accurate measure of snow. So we had pretty much an even inch, and that was our first snowfall of the winter. And so it's going to warm up next week, so it's all going to melt. But it looks, it's beautiful out there. The roads are wet, not snowy, but all the trees and grass surfaces are covered with snow.
Yeah, yeah. And do you still have any leaves up there, or they've all fallen off?
Oh no, yeah, there's still leaves. All our blueberry bushes still have leaves on them, and there's still probably half the trees still have leaves, and the tamaracks are just starting to turn yellow and starting to drop their needles. So it's still early winter yet.
Yeah, yeah. And how is the wrap up of your harvest gone? Is everything out of the ground? And is it sort of a normal kind of a fall for you, or have things come faster or slower than usual?
Well, it's probably a normal fall for us. You know, a lot of the stuff, we have our hoop houses cleaned out. We've kind of harvested all our pumpkins and tomatoes and peppers and everything else in the other hoop houses we've picked, because earlier, probably a week and a half ago, we had 21 degrees, and so that we wanted to make sure everything was out before we had that real hard freeze. The only thing on the ground right now are Brussels sprouts that, you know, they can take pretty much anything, it seems like, so they're still growing.
Okay.
And then we'll be putting some garlic in the ground. We'll be putting some garlic in the ground soon to grow and harvest next July. But otherwise, everything's pretty much out. The potatoes and carrots are in the root cellar, and a lot of the things we've picked are canned or frozen.
What was the best? Was there any outstanding crop this year?
Well, our blueberries did really well. We had a real good winter. Our blueberries are real dependent on a nice, good snow cover before it gets real cold. So we had a lot of snow early. The plants were all protected. We had good moisture, although we can irrigate our blueberries, so that's not a big concern. But the growing conditions were just really nice for blueberries. But pretty much everything did good. I guess the only problem area we had was potatoes, and we had grown potatoes in a couple different areas, and one of them got something called potato scab, and it's real ugly looking. Looks like they have warts or blemishes on them. You can still eat the potatoes, but they're just real ugly looking. That was probably the only thing that, you know, didn't do as well, but otherwise everything seemed to do real well.
Good. Well, so glad you had a good year, and especially with the blueberries. I know those have been a challenge for several years in a row now, so really nice to have a bumper crop, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Al, for being with us. Anything else you want to mention before we let you go back to your meeting?
No, I guess everything's good.
Okay. Thanks so much, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye, Katja.
That was Al Ringer, co-owner of the Pine Creek Farm, wild rice collector, producer, and Lake Superior School District board member. What an active member of our community, and a pleasure to talk to him.